I'm Dr. Randall Langley. Welcome to the Pinnacle Leaders Podcast, where we share life-impacting content centered on lordship, leadership, and lifestyle. Our goal is to serve leaders like you and help you maximize your potential and reach the pinnacle of your calling. Please like, subscribe, and share this channel so we can serve others too. Now, let's enjoy today's show. Insight number two is be tenacious in prayer. Write another word down. Be relentless in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Look at verse 12. It says, as she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound, he thought she'd been drinking. Must you come here drunk, he demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger. I am very discouraged. And I was just pouring out my heart to the Lord. There's another little side note there. When you're discouraged and broken and whatever, don't run around and find a bunch of other broken people to complain to. Pour your heart out to the Lord who can actually do something about your situation. Verse 16. Don't think that I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, kind of like almost a little side note, Eli says, well, in that case, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. I don't know if it was that word from Eli giving her kind of a hall pass or what it was. But verse 19 says, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, PG-13 version here, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. The name Samuel means God heard or God hears. Amen. So they take this year after year, they take this pilgrimage to Shiloh, to the temple, to offer sacrifices and to pray. And this goes on again, year after year after year. She's still childless. She's still barren. But what we see here is that Hannah refused to give up. Hannah kept pressing in to the presence of God. She kept crying out in tenacious, relentless persistence. She cried out to God for what was in her spirit to bring forth a son. It kind of reminds me of that in the New Testament, there's a story in Luke 18 called The Widow and the Unjust Judge. And Jesus uses this to teach his disciples about prayer and to bring a contrast. It's not a comparison, it's a contrast between evil and the goodness of God. And so, it says here in Luke 18, we'll just read a couple of these verses. Verse 1, one day Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying, and notice this, never stop or lose hope. Keep praying, never stop, never lose hope. And he shared with them this illustration about a certain town. There was a judge, a thick-skinned and godless man who had no fear of others' opinions. Verse 6, and Jesus continued, did you hear what the godless judge said, that he would answer her persistent request? Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those, notice this, who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting in the same way as the widow. Now, it's interesting because in the Greek, this phrase, do not lose heart or don't quit, it literally comes from a Greek word that is divided in two. The first part means with or by, and the second part means evil or bad. In other words, how do you not lose heart? How do you not give up and quit? It's you don't stay by the evil or with evil or with the bad. In other words, you've got to choose to lean into the and get closer to the nature and character of what God can do than you are closer to the nature of what the enemy wants to do. Get closer to who God says he is and what he can do in your life than you are closer to the problem. You got to live aware of what God can do. You see, Hannah knew. She's an Israelite woman. She knows the stories of the supernatural miracle working power of God. Hannah had heard about how God gave Abraham and Sarah a child when they were barren. God heard about the stories of deliverance, how God parted the Red Sea and brought Israel out on dry ground. Hannah knew these stories of the miracle-working power of God. And so she chose to continue to cry out and persist and direct her posture and her attention toward what God can do instead of keeping her focus on the circumstances that were negative in her life. You see, we only trust someone when we know them, right? And so this is an intentional effort on our part. Who is God? Who is he to you, right? What has he said about himself? How well do you know him? This is how you can boil this down. This is what I'm trying to say. Whose voice is loudest in your life? Who has the louder voice? Many of you in here are aware that my wife was in a very serious motorcycle accident. Really a near-death experience. And she wound up after surgeries in our home, in a hospital bed, in our living room for months, not being able to walk. And, you know, pain has a loud voice. Circumstances has a loud voice. When you're going through something, it's loud. It's screaming at you. I love doctors. I love what medical science can do. But we had the most negative doctor, right? And he would say, well, we're not sure you're going to walk again. Or we're not sure that when you can walk, your foot's going to operate again. And well, we're not sure this is going to heal and blah, 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 blah. One time it was so negative, we left the doctor's office. I had to take my wife's face in my hands. And I looked in her eyes and I said, baby, that doctor does not prophesy our future. God determines our future. But we had to intentionally choose to draw near and close to the God of miracles and supernatural and what he has said and what he will do in our life. We had to get closer to him, and his voice had to be louder than all the other voices in our life. So that's the key here. Regardless of what you might be facing, regardless of what barrenness there might be in your life or what pain or trauma is in your life at any given point in time, make sure that you're getting closer to God and his voice is louder than the voice of anything or anybody else. Amen. That's what fueled Hannah. That's the key to this kind of persistence. That's the key to this kind of just relentless pursuit. Hannah wouldn't quit praying. Hannah wouldn't quit crying out to God, even in the midst of her greatest discouragement. And I'm just gonna speak that out over your life. And those of you that are watching, don't stop praying. Don't quit. Don't give up. He's a miracle working God, and he is the answer for you. Just continue to persist. Continue to press in there. And then we come to insight number three, which is easy to overlook. And that is this: be surrendered in prayer. Be surrendered in prayer. Yes, be authentic, be genuine. Yes, be tenacious. But there's this place where you have to come where you're just so convinced of the goodness of God that you're fully surrendered to his will. Look with me back again at verse 11. And she made this time. She had gone to the temple many years. That says they did this year after year after year. But this time she makes a vow. And she says, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. Now, we don't know this for certain, but it's quite possible that other times she just prayed, God, give me children. God, give me children. God, give me a son. God, you know. But this time she says, and I will give him back to you. Now look down at verse 21. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer a sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned and I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Verse 23, whatever you think is best, Elkanah agreed. So hold on a second. I think Elkanah might have went to marriage counseling between the first time and the second time. Seems like he wised up a little bit, don't you think? Whatever you think is best, baby, I'm in agreement. Stay here for now and may the Lord help you keep your promise. So she stayed home. She nursed the boy until he was weaned. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh and they brought him to Eli. Verse 26, she says, do you remember me? Hannah asked, I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord. And he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. Now, listen very closely. Ultimately, our prayers should not be about what we want. They should be about what God wants. I have this theology. When you want what God wants for the reason God wants it, you'll have it. You see, sometimes we don't understand these things, but it's like Jesus gave us the best example ever. He knew why he was on this planet. He knew that he came literally to offer himself as a sacrifice. But he comes to the end of his time on this earth and he's in the garden, he's praying and he says, oh God, oh Father, he says, I know what the plan is, but is there any other way to do this? It's gonna be a lot of pain, a lot of suffering going on here. And if there's another way, let it be possible. Nevertheless, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Amen? See, he was surrendered. He prayed surrendered. That's what Hannah was doing. She'd finally come to the place where she was surrendered to what God wanted to do in and through her life. And so she was now willing to offer this boy back to the Father. Now listen to me. Surrender to God, don't surrender to the enemy. I feel like, you know, I'm not going to preach on this, but I want to make this statement. You need to know what the Word of God says. You need to know the heart of God. You need to know the character and nature of God so you can surrender to Him. But do not be deceived. There's a time when you've got to contend in faith and push back the forces of hell. It's like that famous saying we have today, not today, Satan, right? You got to know when to say, not today, Satan. I know what God has said. You got to know how to surrender to God, but never surrender to the will of the enemy in your life. Amen? But see, listen, you can almost miss this. God was working during this season of Hannah's barrenness. God was at work. It's like that song that we sing, Pastor Clint, even when we don't see him, he's working. Even when we don't know it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. And God was working even in her barrenness, and he was preparing Hannah. He was getting her ready to be fully surrendered to the plan of the Father. And when I was studying this and praying over this, you can almost miss it. But in in verse 5 and 6, I want to direct your attention back there for just a second. It says in verse 5 that Elkanah loved Hannah, and it said he would give her one choice portion because, now notice this language, because the Lord had given her no children. Now, at first I thought, well, that's just in this translation. Read on in verse 6. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah, make fun of her because it says here, the Lord had kept her from having children. And when you look this up in other translations or back to the original Hebrew, it literally means the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. The Lord had done this. Unbeknownst to Hannah, God was at work and she was a part of a much bigger plan than she could ever have imagined. And see, her posture of faith to cry out to God, to trust God, to fully surrender to God, to allow God to work in his way and in his timing brought forth one of the greatest Old Testament prophet leaders of God's people. God was at work all along, but she wasn't ready. She wasn't prepared until now. And God raises up Samuel to be one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament, to call armies into battle, to prophesy and declare people into alignment with the plans and purposes of God. And see, that's like us. Many times, God's delays are not God's denials. You might be in the middle of a delay and you might be getting all fraught with anxiety and fear and distress, and you've lost center of the goodness of God. But God, maybe he's so good that he can work behind the scenes even when you don't know it. That's what he was doing with Hannah. This was God's plan all along. Samuel doesn't come into being because Hannah coerced God and somehow begged God enough that God finally just said, okay, fine. God's plan all along was to bring forth Samuel, but he needed somebody, a man or a woman. That's what God does. When he wants to do something, he prepares us to do something beyond our imagination, something more wonderful than we could ever, ever expect ourselves. That's how good our God is. Samuel was part of God's design. He was a gift from God. She wasn't aware of it, but God was using Hannah in the middle of his plan. I just love this. And you know what? She finally is at that place where she really can give him back to God. So she stands before the priest and she says, remember me? Here's the boy. What happens is, after Samuel, God gives Hannah three more boys and two more girls. God, the blessings just kept on coming because Hannah was authentic and genuine and cried out to God, because Hannah wouldn't quit. She didn't stop. She persisted. She was relentless in crying out to God. And Hannah was surrendered, comes to that place. Father, you're a good God. This isn't happening the way I want it to, but I trust you. I belong to you. You're a God of miracles. You love me. And I'm just going to continue in this posture of faith and trust towards you. It's powerful, my friends. That's how God works. I was thinking about this, you know, where are the barren issues in your life that you might be facing right now? What are you going through that, quite frankly, just looks impossible? You might be in a better place than you think you are, because it's when man comes to the end of his ability that God steps in oftentimes and shows his power to supersede what man said was impossible. What is causing you bitterness? The Bible says she was in bitterness and anguish of soul. You know, this is trauma. This is deep emotional trauma. Let me encourage you, like Hannah, maybe turn your perspective toward a bigger plan instead of what you think you know in the natural. God's a good, good father. He never ceases to be good, but he also knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end that we don't know. And oftentimes he's working something far bigger than our little world and our little myopic perspective. Run into the presence of God, be authentic, pour your heart out, and then he can take you forward from there. That's the kind of God he is. God's always got a plan for you. God's always got a plan for me. And it starts with relationship with him. It's one of the things we love about Liberty Church: people changing because of Jesus. We don't come every week because we're religious people. We come here every week because we know about the life-changing power of God to turn us around and to pour hope and joy and expectation and a future into us. God's got a future for you. But we've got to run to him like Hannah did. We're not worthy, but he sent Jesus to love us and to die for us, pay for our sins. And that's just where it starts. That's just the beginning. From there on out, once you give your life to him, it's a whole new ball game. It's on now. Life is on when it's anchored in our salvation, in our love, in our relationship with God. Can you say amen?
Thanks for listening to the Pinnacle Leaders Podcast. Make sure to subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast platform. If you have suggestions for our show, we'd love to know what you think. Visit www.randalllangley.com for previous podcast episodes and other leadership resources. And also, you can connect with me through social media. We exist to serve leaders like you. Grace and peace, my friends.